Okay, so today we're going to be looking in the book of Luke, chapter 5, and we're starting a new series today. And like I said earlier, y'all are probably thinking, what has he done now? He's put this thing up in the foyer. He's got all these papers in the seats here. So we're going to begin a new series for the next 4 weeks that is going to focus on evangelism. I'm going to tell you, I was telling Pam earlier this week, I remember years ago when I first started filling pulpits and preaching a little bit here and there, I had an old pastor tell me, he says, Jay, whenever you get your first church, remember, every year you got to talk about evangelism. And I was like, oh, okay. He says, I'm telling you that because we fixed and spent a couple of weeks here in evangelism. And so I said, okay. I just always remember Brother Mike Johnson telling me that. And so we're going to spend a couple weeks focusing on evangelism. And the series is going to be called Who's Your One? Now, some of y'all probably remember a few years ago, Southern Baptist Convention had an evangelism push that they called Who's Your One? And that's what we're going through, is we're kind of following the same format as that. But with a little difference here, we're going to what we're doing is we're going to be talking about who's your one, when we say who's your one, I think that we're specifically called to minister to one person, and not just one person, but all people, but I think one at a time. I think God asks us to do that. Think about this for a minute. If a million people would pray and minister to one person, imagine 1 million people coming to know Jesus. So how about you be that one in a million for the one in a million? And that's what we're going to be talking about over the next 4 weeks, is about how we can do this. And this series is going to be called Who's Your One? And it's a specific call for each of us that call ourselves Christians to evangelize those who don't know Jesus. Now if you don't know what evangelize means, what it means this. It means to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those who don't know Jesus Christ. It means to share the good news with someone who doesn't know the good news. It means to share it means to tell someone that they can receive forgiveness for their sins by putting their faith in Jesus to forgive them of their sins, just like we do. If you're a believer here today, that's what God calls us to do, because He is the only one who can forgive us of our sin. Is that right? Amen. He is the only one who can forgive us of our sin, because He's the only one who could shed His blood on the cross and pay the price for our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It means telling somebody about Jesus and how He loves us so much that He made the sacrifice on the cross to give us deliverance from our sin first, and then to give us eternal life with Him in glory. It means that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and we believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead to overcome sin, we shall be saved. That is evangelism. And that's what we're going to be talking about for the next 4 weeks. And that's what I believe God calls us to. He calls us to do to evangelize people. He calls us to go on mission. And over the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about how God gives us this mission to share His gospel with the world. How evangelizing is part of God's plan to save others. It's part of God's plan to grow His church. How many of you here want to see Slackland Baptist Church grow? Okay, most of you. If we want the church to grow, then we need to evangelize people. We need to share Jesus with other people. We need to tell them about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. We need to invite them to church. We need to spend time praying for them daily, not just once a day, all day, every day. We need to pray that the Holy Spirit would penetrate the soul of those who don't know Jesus Christ. We need to pray that the Holy Spirit would give us opportunity to share the love of Jesus with somebody. We need to pray for one specific person that God would put in front of us and give us the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus with that person. To open our mouths and share with them the plan of salvation. That's what we need to do. And it's just part, and that's just part of God's plan to grow His church. It's part of His plan to grow His kingdom. That's what it is. And He calls us as believers to share His good news with our friends, with our family, with those we love, with those we don't love, our enemies. He calls us to share with those who need His love and who need His salvation. He calls us to share with those who need deliverance from the sin in their life and with those who need a relationship with Him and who need to hear the gospel message of Jesus Christ. That's what He calls us to, church. That's what He calls us to. And it's not only what He calls us to, He commands us to do this. He commands us to share His gospel with others. He tells us in Matthew 28, 19 through 20, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." God may call us to do other things, but you know what the main thing is He calls us to do? To share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. That's the main thing that He calls us to. And y'all have heard me say this before. We need to learn how to keep the main thing, right? That's what we need to do. It is one mission that should be at the front of our lives every day as we seek to serve Him. And the way we're starting off this whole Who's Your One mission is by reading in the Gospel of Luke about how some friends took it upon themselves to answer God's call in faith and bring their friend to Jesus so that He could deliver him and so that He could heal him. That was their one mission. And by the end of this, I hope that we all realize that God's got one mission for us and that we ask ourselves the question, who's your one? And that we can start praying for that one person and start praying that God would give us opportunity to lead them to Jesus. Let's stand as we read in the book of Luke, starting in chapter 5, verse 17. Let's go ahead and stand for the reading of God's Word. And it says this in verse 17. It says, "Now it happened on a certain day, as He was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before Him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When He saw their faith, He said to him, 'Man, your sins are forgiven.' And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, 'Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?' But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, He answered and said to them, 'Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins,' He said to the man who was paralyzed, 'I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house.' Immediately He rose up before them, took up what He had been lying on, and departed to His house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, 'We have seen strange things today.'" This is God's Word. Let's pray. Holy God, we thank You for Your Word. And we pray, Father, that You give us opportunity to bring someone to Your feet, Father. We pray, God, that we would take on this mission of leading others to You, Father. We thank You for Your Word, and we ask You, Father, that it may convict us and it may show us what You would have us do. For it's these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So looking here, at our role in mission, the Lord has a missional role for all His followers. That role is going to be a role of action. He's calling you to actively bring someone to the feet of Jesus Christ. And when someone's when you bring someone to the gospel, when someone is confronted with the gospel, you have to respond. There has to be a response to the gospel. And you know, when someone's confronted with the gospel of Jesus Christ, there must be a response. He calls us to, you know, they can either follow Jesus or they can run away. They can surrender to Him or they can surrender to the world. They can say yes to Jesus or they can say no to Jesus. And that's the Christian's role in mission, a role that He has called you specifically to do. To obey our role in mission, we must be focused. It says in verse 17, "Now it happened on a certain day, as He was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, on a certain day that He was teaching the law, and there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal." You see, Jesus here in verse 17, He is focused. The Pharisees were always present with Jesus. They were always coming around. They were coming to contradict Him and to question Him. But the power of the Lord was present to heal that day, and He was focused. He was focused on what the Pharisees were saying about Him. And we're going to hear them talking about Him again here in just a minute. But He was focused. It says, "The power of the Lord was present to heal." And there was not only Pharisees there, there were other teachers, but they came out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. Why did they come? They come to hear Jesus teach. And they came to hear Him preach. And they came to hear Him heal, to see Him heal. They came to be in His presence, and He was focused. And also these men were focused. In verse 18 it says, "Behold, the men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before Him." These men were focused because they recognized their call, and they moved forward into their call. You know, sometimes people say, "Well, God may be calling me, Jay, but I don't know what He's calling me to." Well, maybe it's because you're not moving. Maybe it's because you're sitting still. I heard a saying one time, I may have already told you this before, it's a whole lot easier to push a car when it's already rolling. You know? And that's the way it is with us. If you don't know what God's call is for you, maybe you need to move forward. Maybe you need to move forward to Him, to follow Him and see what He's calling you to. And that's what these men were doing. They saw Jesus, they saw their mission, and they moved forward. Jesus is at the center. He's teaching, He's healing. The people, they're listening. They're experiencing the glory of Jesus. Even the Pharisees had a role here. They're listening, they're judging, they're contradicting. And then on the scene, these men bring a man on a bed who needs to be healed. He needs to be saved, and only Jesus can do that. He's the only one who can do that. And these men, they're focused on this mission that God has given them to bring their friend to Jesus. And they're moving forward toward the call that the Lord has given them. And nothing's going to stop them in this task that they have been given, even as they approach this obstacle to mission. And you know what? There's always obstacles to mission. There's always obstacles to mission. There's always obstacles to what God calls us to do. There's always things that seem to get in the way of us doing what God calls us to do. We get busy. Maybe there's something at work. Oftentimes it's something of our own doing. We see a lot of great men in the Bible that experience that, right? God calls them to do something, and what do? They automatically come up with excuses. The first one I can think of is Moses. I think he's a great example of that. Do you know Moses gives 5 reasons why he can't follow God's call to lead Israel out of Egypt? He gives 5 reasons. The first one is a reason of inadequacy. God calls him and says, I want you to do this. And he says, who am I? Who am I to do this? Moses questions his own importance and his capability to stand before Pharaoh. We read about that in Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. Go back and do it on your own study time. You can read that. The next thing is a question of authority. He says, what shall I say? In other words, Moses asked for God's name to justify his authority to the Israelites. And what does God tell them? He says, when they ask you who called you, you tell them I am called you. You tell them I am sent you to them. They'll know. And so then Moses comes up with another one. It's a lack of trust. And he says, they will not believe me. Moses fears that these people won't listen to him or they won't accept him. And we read about that in Exodus 4:1, that God appeared to him and told him that they believe in him. And the next thing he says is he offers up his inability to do it. Y'all sitting here and listen to me stutter and stammer every Sunday, right? We've got to move on past our inabilities, don't we? And that's what Moses needed to do. He said, I'm slow of speech. He claimed he wasn't an eloquent speaker. We read that in Exodus 4:10. And then finally, we see Moses in this given a reason of unwillingness. What's he say? Send somebody else. That's what we like to do most of the time. Say, God, just send somebody else. Because I don't want to do it. I don't want to answer your call. I don't want to do your work. As we sit here today, church, or if God's calling us out to do a work in His name, are we answering with unwillingness? Because I'm here to tell you, He's calling you today to go to pray for one person. How hard is that? To pray for one person, to share the gospel with that one person, to love that one person enough that you would share Jesus with them. That's what He's calling us to. God calls us to go out in His name. He calls us to pray for those who don't know Him. And He calls us who know Him to share His good news with others. Are you going to tell Him that you're unwilling? Are you going to tell God that you are unwilling? Jesus will lead us through these obstacles. He'll lead us through these obstacles of mission, including the obstacle that is in ourselves. Jesus will lead us through these things. When we approach obstacles, we just need to look up. And that's what we see these men doing in our text, right? It says, and when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up to the housetop and let him in down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. We look up to see Jesus, and we need to look up to see Jesus, and we need to cry out for Him to remove the obstacles that are in front of us. We need to cry out to Him to give us guidance and strength to do His work. These men, they approach the crowd, and there's an obstacle to bringing a friend to Jesus. It says they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd. Now, it would have been simple enough to just say, you know what, that's it. I don't know what else to do. I can't do this. You know, and that's what a lot of us would do, wouldn't we? Quit? I mean, has God ever called you to do something and you just like, you know what, this is just a little too hard. I'm quitting. You know, that's what we do lots of times. We just quit. Well, when we approach those obstacles, like these men do, they look up and they went up on the housetop and they let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. So they looked up. That's what we need to do. We need to look up to Jesus. And when we need to look up to Jesus, you know what we need to do about these obstacles? We need to outlast them. We don't need to quit. Because so many times, that's what happens in life, in anything. We just quit when it gets hard. Man, I tell you, I was here in that office back there till 9:30 last night writing a paper for a class on a Saturday night. And I was thinking, man, I don't know if I want to do this or not. And then I started going through my sermon and going through it. And I was like, oh man, there it is. You know, we do that sometimes though, don't we? When something gets a little hard, we decide that it would be better to just quit than to keep on going, than to keep on doing what God has called us to do. We need to outlast this. These men, they saw the crowd, but they did not quit. They went up on the house, and they did not quit. They dug through the ceiling to deliver their friend to Jesus because they did not quit. When we run into obstacles in God's mission, we need to look up to Him, and we need to outlast the opposition, even when it's ourselves. Next thing we need to do, we need to have faith in the mission. When He saw their faith, He said to them, "Man, your sins are forgiven." When the men delivered their friend to Jesus, He noticed their faith. Not the man's faith. He noticed their faith. And because of their faith, He forgave the man of his sin. Do you have enough faith to bring someone to the cross? Do you have enough faith to bring someone to Jesus? It's called a demonstration of faith. We deliver the gospel message of Jesus Christ to those who don't know Him. And when we do that, we are demonstrating our faith. Look, if you have enough faith in Jesus Christ that you believe He saved you, you should have enough faith in Jesus Christ to share that same testimony with someone else. Why wouldn't you want to? Why wouldn't you want to share Jesus with somebody else? For as the body without the Spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. We're not saved by the work. We are saved by grace through faith. But if we are saved, we show and we share our faith by doing His work. And that's what Jesus saw in these men. He noticed their faith. He noticed their faith, and when He noticed the faith of these men, He saved the paralytic. That's power of faith in Jesus Christ. That's what that is. And that is the power in the mission. The power in the mission is the presence of God. There is power in the presence of Christ. As we read in verse 17 a while ago, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. We also read again there where it says, but that you may know, in verse 24 it says, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. And then he commands the man to get up. There is power in the presence of Jesus. You need to understand that long as we're obedient, long as we're sharing His Word, long as we're praying, long as we're following the will of Jesus Christ, He is present there with you. He is present. And that's the power in the mission, is the presence of Jesus. There is, you know, also we notice the power of Christ as He perceived these Pharisees' questions about the power of Jesus to forgive this man's sin. As Jesus says, "Why are you reasoning in your heart?" He perceived that. You know, Jesus Christ is going to perceive your need, and He is going to be there with you. He will be present with you as you do His work. You know what? There's going to always be people who are going to question the power of Christ to save, the power of Christ to heal. There's always going to be people like that. But you know what we can depend on? We can depend on the power of Christ and the presence of Him to perceive those questions from others. And we can depend on Him to fill us with His Spirit, to fill us with His power, and to fill us with His presence as we do His work.
We who follow Jesus should have faith in His power as He calls us to do His work. Jesus perceives those questions and He gives us power. And as He calls us to share His message with others, we need to understand that if we do that which He calls us to do, we should have no fear of failure. Well, you know, because that's what keeps us from sharing the gospel lots of times too, is that fear of failure, right? Guess what? You can't fail. If you share the message of Jesus with somebody, you're successful. Because whether they respond by saying they'll receive Jesus, or whether they respond that they're not going to hear you. You know what? I'll just go ahead and be honest with you. I've shared the gospel with many people. I've had more turn it down than I've had accept it. That's not a failure. You know why? We said it a while ago, right? Can you save anybody? No. All God wants you to do is be obedient by sharing His faith, sharing His message, His gospel with someone else. It's up to them. It's between them and the Holy Spirit to accept that, for them to respond. And like I said a while ago, there always must be a response. He calls us to share His message. And if we share the gospel as He calls us to do, that's all He's commanding us to do. We just need to be obedient with that. These men who brought their friend to Jesus to be healed, to be saved, they had no real power to forgive or to heal. They had no power to do anything. Only Jesus had that power. That's why they brought him to Jesus. Only Jesus had that power. When Jesus tells us to evangelize, only He has the power to save. We just have to tell them the good news. And we need to understand that to do that, we have power in Christ. So these men were obedient in bringing their friend to Jesus. It was Jesus in His power who said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." That was His power. It was not the power of these men. It was Jesus in His power who said, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." The power in the mission is the power in Christ. Is that we have power in Christ. It says that then the man immediately he rose up before them and took up what he had been lying on and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." How many of y'all are in our Wednesday night Acts Bible study? Remember this past Wednesday night, what did they say? It said there were many unusual miracles, right? What miracle is not unusual? You know, it is a great thing to see a miracle occur, and they got to see one happen today. And that was their mission. So, let me ask you this morning. Church, who's your one? Who are you willing to bring to faith? Who are you willing to share Jesus with? Who are you willing to just pray for every day? Who are you willing to invite to church so that they can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? Who's your one? Who are you going to carry to the feet of Jesus? And you know, some of you in here today, you may not even know Jesus, and you don't even know what that is. So I'm going to tell you, this is what we're talking about. This is the gospel that we're talking about. The fact is there is good news. There's good news in the message of Jesus Christ. But before you hear the good news, you got to hear the bad news. The bad news is our sin separates us from God. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death." That's what the Bible says. It also says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And you think that's bad news? There's worse news. The worst news is we can do nothing to remove our sin ourselves. The Bible says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. That's the worst news. There's nothing you can do to remove the sin from your life. But you know what the good news is? Jesus can. He can remove the sin from your life. At the cross, Jesus did for us what we couldn't do. He died on a cross. He shed His blood to pay for our sins. The Bible says the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. But you know what the best news is? Through faith, we can freely receive forgiveness from our sin, and we can receive eternal life. It says in Romans 6:23, the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. And all you have to do this morning is accept Jesus Christ. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That's what Romans 10:9 says. So how about it? Those of you who don't know Jesus, maybe you're the one this morning. And you need to understand this. This may be the one time you get a chance to accept Jesus. So you've got to decide. You've got to make a decision. Do you want to accept Him today? Do you want to follow Him? Hey, church, who's your one? Who is the one person that God has laid on your heart that needs to know Jesus? That one person you know, you see day in and day out, or you see a number of times a week. That one family member that you would love to see come to a knowing relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you willing to commit yourself to pray for that one? Are you willing to invite that person to church? Are you willing to go all out and share the gospel of Jesus with that person? That's the thing that God's calling us to. So let's stand and sing.